men. Just would like to reiterate what Justin said. We're so blessed as a church to have people that can step up when we have our worship leaders gone. And so I know Leslie just works her heart out just at work and then comes up here and just practices, and then everybody else on the team just gives a lot of effort. So I think it's worth a round of applause at least to say thank you for all they do. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in Jeremiah. If you haven't been with us before, I just want to tell you kind of what we've been doing. Over the last year and a half, we've been going from Genesis, and we're just now in Jeremiah. We're taking it very slow, very methodical, because the reason we're doing this is because we believe that contextualizing the Scriptures is the most important thing when it comes to your growing in your faith. Because if you, I think Will Smith said this in one of his movies, you can't know where you've been unless you know where, or you don't know where you're going unless you know where you've been. And this is exactly what we try to do with this study, Route 66, a journey through the Bible. And so we've learned this from the very beginning, that God is the author of the Bible. God is the creator of the world. And we have to understand this. When you study the Bible, it has to be with this mindset that I'm not trying to pick out some things today that I really want to work on. Today is about knowing the very God that created you. And all things are in order to bring glory to His name. And you have to read the Bible in that way, because it can become very confusing if you read it about you and for you, because you're going to find things that are contradictive to who you are, and then you're going to begin to go, okay, God, is this really what you're trying to tell me to do? But if you can read it in the context of saying, Lord, I just want to honor you as I study this. Today is about your name, not mine. Can I get an amen? And so before we get started, I just want us to pray about this, because the passage of Scripture that I'm going to read has brought more comfort to me as a pastor than any other passage that I'm going to be able to read to you from the pulpit. Because as a pastor, just let me give you this. I know that I have a former Sunday school teacher here, and then I have my dad here, and my dad will agree with this. The thing that's so troubling about the call to ministry is people will not listen to what you say. Can I get an amen? Dad, can I get an amen? Like, people will come to you and be like, hey, I need some spiritual advice. And if it doesn't sit well with them, they go, oh, okay, he's holier than me. I can't quite do that. And so there's always these things as a pastor, you feel like you're never really measuring up. Like, that's the thing that I question myself every Sunday when I preach. I ask myself this, did they even get what I was saying? Are they understanding what God is doing? Because Jeremiah is one of these guys, when God calls him into the ministry, he tells him blatantly right off the bat, you're going to preach for 40 years. And from my study, I saw that Jeremiah never converts one person during his ministry. You talk about being bummed out as a minister 40 years and nobody's paying attention to you. Sometimes, Dad, does it not feel that's what a pastor has to go through? You're given all this time and study and effort, and people sit there and go, Jeremiah understands my feelings. This man's called to preach things that are just not popular with the culture. He's called to preach things that are just going to cause a lot of problems in the spirit. And guys, the thing that I've been dedicated to as, and thank God for parents that have taught this to me, I'm dedicated to preaching the truth of the Scripture. And you've heard me say this time in and time out. I'm more fearful of standing before God and not giving Him honor and glory than I am having a small church. I would rather have a small church and be dedicated to the Word of God and being honest with the Word of God than anything else. I love you guys a lot, and I want you to continue to come back. But the truth is I'm going to base my ministry off of what God says and who He is in the Bible, not what you want Him to be. And see, this is what God's call in Jeremiah's life was. He's like, I'm going to call you to say some things that aren't going to sit well. And he just has this spirit of just depression. And I, at times in ministry, I've been there. And I can definitely say that I felt this call that Jeremiah has been called to and how depressing it can be at times. But thank God, God gives some things in Jeremiah chapter 1, what he's going to tell Jeremiah as he starts his ministry. There's some things that he's going to tell him to set him in motion to do what God called him to do, where God says, they will turn their backs on you, but don't worry, I will never leave you. And guys, that's the greatest thing that we can know when he calls us into ministry, when he calls us to be a part of something. You have to believe this in your heart. At the very being of who you are, you have to believe this. You have to say, I'm doing this because God's called me to do this. And he says, I got this. Amen? So as we study, I think we need to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and do what he can do. Teach us today. Father, I thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. And I thank you for passages of scripture like this. So Lord, even though it's going to be depressing to hear the call that you put on Jeremiah's life, it calls each one of us in here to realize that when we have our eyes on you, you accomplish big things. So Spirit, I just ask that you would hover over this room, that you would teach today, that you would incline the ear to the message that would speak most of who the God, the creator of the world is. And Lord, as we learn that, as we sit under that, Lord, we can just be amazed by who you are, God. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1 in verse 1, it says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah. Now, can we just pause right here? We've got to understand what's going on. If you'll circle the name Hilkiah, Hilkiah is a very important figure in the nation of Israel. During this time, Josiah is the king. Now, he takes over the kingdom at 8 years old. Could you imagine being 8 and giving the keys to the Ferrari and saying, okay, go drive a little bit and have some fun? I know that I wouldn't have been very well. I would have done very good at that. But Josiah was called, and the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord was over him and in him. And he begins to see the need for the nation of Israel, and he begins to surrender himself unto God. But during this time, he begins to say, hey, we need to clean up the tabernacle. We need to clean up the sanctuary. And he sends his priest in there. Well, Hilkiah, which is Jeremiah's dad, is the one that finds the book of the law. Now, if you want to read about this, this is in 2 Kings chapter 22, starting in verse 8. When they find this, Hilkiah runs to King Josiah and says, listen, I found the book of the law. And as he begins to read this to Josiah, even at a young age, at 12, Josiah rips his clothes and he says, what have we done as a nation of Israel? No wonder God is not prospering us. No wonder we're not being able to see the plan of God for the nation of Israel. He tears his clothes and then he calls all of the nation of Israel, at least the southern kingdom. He says, sit down, and for 8 hours they read through the book of the law and they begin to repent of their sins. And this mighty revival happens because Hilkiah finds the book of the law. Now, can I just say this? And this is just a side note, and I just want to throw this out here. There is not a man in here that can start a revival. But when the word of God is preached at the very highest integrity and truth, that's what will start a revival. The church doesn't need a bunch of men to rise up and say, look at how good we are. What the church needs more than anything is for the Word of God to be living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. Why? Because revival starts when the Word of God is preached with integrity and with truth. Can I get an amen? I feel like Jeremiah right now. All right? Some of you are like, I don't know, man. There's some good people like Billy Graham. No, Billy Graham was good, not because he was just a man of integrity. He was good because he taught the integrity of the Word of God. It changed the entire nation of Israel under Josiah because they began to hear the words that God says, my people will follow me this way. They begin to change their whole dietary laws. They begin to change the way they go into the temple, the way they sacrifice. And God begins to restore the nation of Israel under Josiah's leadership because Hilkiah found the book of the law. Now, you may not think that that's important, but I think it's very important that you understand that Jeremiah comes from a dad who was one of the men that started the great revival. And so he has a glass house syndrome. I felt that growing up in the house of a pastor. I one time got pulled over, and it wasn't because I was speeding. It was because the seat of my car was broke, and I looked like I was seven when I was driving. And I pull into the driveway. My dad's waiting there for me. He's like, you got anything to tell me? Hi? Nope. You're a good dad? Nope. Something happened today? Like the life of me, I could not think. He said, did you get pulled over? I said, like 7 minutes ago. How did you know? And I explained it to him. He said, did you get a ticket? Because I live in it. Somebody passed going down the road. I was like, oh, your son, he's a sinner. You know, and so you can see that with Jeremiah, he grows up in this glass house. His daddy is the one that kind of helped revive the nation of Israel through the word of God. And so we see that he wants to mention his dad here. He said he's one of the priests who was Anoth. Now, this is important. That was one of those sectors that was kind of allotted to the priests that they would live the land. They didn't have to pay taxes. They lived off the land there for free. This is about 8 miles north of Jerusalem. So Jeremiah grows up with eyesight of Jerusalem, but he doesn't grow up in Jerusalem. Verse 2, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. And in the 13th year of his reign, it came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. So basically this is telling us where his ministry started. It started in the 13th year of the reign of Josiah. So we see that his ministry is broke down into three different sectors. We have Josiah, who's got Jeremiah's back. He's all in, all with him. He dies during this time. And then who comes in? Nothing more than Jehoiakim comes in, who was a bad king. And let me tell you a little bit about Jehoiakim. Jeremiah has been writing down these prophecies in a scroll, and he's keeping these things by number and saying, this is what the Lord has taught me. And, you know, they write from right to left. And so he's writing it on the scroll. And then he goes in thinking, you know what, I'm going to have a good start with this king. And we're going to get the nation of Israel continuing in the path that Josiah set. And as he takes his prophecy into this king Jehoiakim, the king reads it for about 5 minutes, and then he rips it right in front of him into all these pieces and throws it into the fire, saying, that's not what my kingdom's going to be. So we see that it goes from Josiah to Jehoiakim, and then it gets worse under the leadership of Zedekiah. So 40 years in all is the ministry of Jeremiah. So verse 4, now the word of the Lord came to me saying, now it's important that you understand this, you cannot have a calling because you want to do something. It has to start with the word of the Lord coming to you. It has to start with you believe that God is calling and drawing you into a ministry. You don't get to just pick and choose where you want to go. As a believer in Jesus, I have to be set in this mindset that when God calls me, that's where I need to be. I have to set like Mary does when she's waiting upon Jesus, because he's calling her. Here, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And verse 5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Now, I underlined this because it's so important, because actually what Jeremiah is doing, he's hearing the word of God quote what David wrote in the Psalms, right? Psalms 139, he says, I knew you before you were in the womb. And so it's telling us something about Jeremiah here. He was a student of the word of God. He understood the word of God. He dedicated his life to the word of God. He was like, yeah, I know that I was formed in the womb. I knew that that's what God had called for me. And this is what the word of the Lord says to him. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Now, I could get into a political stance about abortion here, and you should know that if the Lord is doing things in the womb, then every baby's life matters. If you'd like to email me, go ahead. We'll have a long conversation. But this verse right here tells me something about abortion. And before you were born, look what else it did. Before he was born, I consecrated you. Now, what does that word consecrated mean? It says, I set you aside. If you look at when the Bible talks about like the utensils used in the temple when they would go and sacrifice stuff, it always say these utensils were consecrated unto the Lord. It means to be set aside. Is that Jeremiah, when I started with you, I need you to know that I had it planned every day, every moment, every path, every person you would come in contact with, I had you set aside for this ministry. And how good is this to hear from Jeremiah? Well, number one, you're hearing from God and you're like, okay, wait a minute, this is a big deal. But when God begins to speak to you, he speaks words of endearment to you. He's like, listen, before you were even born, I had you consecrated, I had you set aside, I had you prepared, I had you planned for the ministry that I have for you. And this is what's so important here, because a lot of times we come to church and we say, church, collectively, we, what can we do? But when the church becomes individual and we go, what can I do for the Lord, right? It's not what the Lord's going to do for you, but what can I do for the Lord? And I begin to see that my calling is an individual calling. Yeah, it's to be a part of a church, but outside of that, God has placed you where you are right in this moment, not so that you can be happy and wealthy and that you can have good health. He placed you right where you are to bring glory to His name. Individually. I think sometimes universally we just go, well, what's the plan for the church? And I think we got to take that and push it to the side and say, what is the plan that God has for me? Let me illustrate it this way. I have a normal deck of cards. Drew, come here. You look like a smart guy. Angie, you had a chance to amen that, and you didn't. You failed. She failed right off the bat. Okay. Yeah. All right. I want you to see that this is a normal deck of cards. Normal deck of cards. All right. I'll even go this way for you. So, because some of those cards, you know, you have in your hand, and one side of you flip it, and it's like they're a normal suit, and then you flip it to the other side. And it's like a bunch of different cards. So this is a normal deck of cards. Okay. I'll even, just so you know that I'm not cheating you or anything like this, I'm going to mix it up. Okay. And y'all like card tricks? I love card tricks. Okay. Are you nervous?
I mean, not really.
Okay. I mean, not really. Good English. Okay. Good English, right? I get yelled at all the time. All right. No, I'm just kidding. She doesn't. She's... I want you to pick a card out of here, any card that you want. That one right there. Okay, I want you to look at it. All right. Did you pick a good one? Okay. Here's what I need you to do. I want you to show everybody out there that card. Yeah, go ahead. Show that card. Okay, good. Now, put it down, just like that. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to stick it back here in the deck. Back here in the deck. In there. Okay. All right. You were really good at this, by the way. Yeah, okay, let's just be honest, you're good at this. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take these cards and I'm going to shuffle them up because I don't want you to think that I would ever cheat you, okay? Now, what was that card that you had? Just tell me. Ace of Hearts. You're really bad at this. Okay, no, Ace of Hearts. Okay, out of all the things that you could have done, you picked the Ace of Hearts. Now, here's the thing about it is every card is unique enough, right? Because it has a mark that says it's an ace, but it also has a suit that it's in. And it has a numerical value, so it's so important. But here's the crazy thing about that card. That card is the one card in there that no other card's like. It stands out. And here's what's amazing about that card is because that card stands out, see, I can pull it right out of the center of the deck. Come on, clap. That was good. Go sit down. Good job. Now, some of you are going, how in the world did he do that? I'm not going to tell my trick, but I will say this, is that's exactly what the Word of God is trying to teach us here. When God calls Jeremiah, he says, one person for this task. I don't need a collective we. I need an individual. But here's the thing is he needs individuals that will trust him at his word. Because Jeremiah doesn't have a great start when he hears this from God. Because look what happens. Verse 6. Then I said, this is Jeremiah speaking. can you see this too? This is how I would speak to the Lord. Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak. And what's funny is he's speaking to God. So he's not fearful to speak to God, but he's like, God, if you put me in front of a bunch of people, I don't know if I could do it. I think I would be more afraid to speak in front of God than any other person. He says, God, I don't know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. Now, here's the thing, and I think that we have to see this here. When God calls us into ministry, and some of us in here and say, well, I'm trying to learn the will of God. Well, the one thing is you've got to stop asking that question, what is the will of God? The will of God is for you to make much of His name. That's throughout the entire Bible, okay? You don't have to go around and scratch your head and say, well, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Your one goal as a believer in this room is to magnify the name of God, to make that the very priority of your life, that I want to show people that the Creator of the world has a purpose and a plan. I want to make much of His name. So every one of us, because we're called to be followers of Jesus, have a calling on our life. Now, it could be different in some areas because we're gifted differently. But every one of us have a call in our life to do something for God. Now, here's the problem. Most of you think that the calling on your life is coming to church. That is not a call from the Lord. That should be something that you want to do. You should want to sit under the Word of God, okay? But that is not the call that God has on your life. He has a specific purpose in mind. When He gave His Son for you, He wanted you to do something with that gift. Amen? And so God tells Jeremiah, hey, I want you to be a prophet. And Jeremiah says, wait a minute, back up. I don't even know how to speak. Now, here's the excuse that he has. And I think it's an excuse that a lot of us have when it comes to working for the Lord. Okay? It's the same excuse that Jeremiah has. I don't know how to speak. Basically, what he's saying is I'm too incompetent in the Word of God to be able to tell somebody about who Jesus is. Now, okay, let me just pause for a second and show you how easy it is to tell somebody about the very God that you love. I was lost, and He found me by giving His Son Jesus to die on the cross for me. And because I accepted that gift, I gave my sins to Him, I'm now born again, found in Christ Jesus. No longer am I my own, I am His. Now that's not that hard. But see, a lot of people will reject the call of God because they feel incompetent. They're like, I don't know the Word of God. Number one, have you really picked it up and tried to study it? Because what you're doing right now is not going to help you very much. It's when you have a daily routine, when you get in the Word of God, is what's going to change your life. Because I'm going to tell you, the best thing that you can do as a believer inside of this room is go to Sunday school. A lot of people say, why do we got to go to Sunday school? It has the word school in it. I graduated years ago and I don't want to go to school, right? The greatest thing that you can do in your walk, and listen to me as a believer in here, is put yourself around other believers who know the Word of God. The Word of God says iron sharpens iron. You have to sharpen one another. You are not going to grow a whole lot just sitting in here and listening to a sermon week in and week out that you're hoping he'll be done in 40 minutes, right? Nobody amen that, so we're going to keep going. But you are using the same excuse that Jeremiah uses here when it comes to the call in your life. God, I'm just too incompetent. I just don't know the Word like I should. Well, whose fault is that? Can I say that again? If this is your excuse, if you're in here saying, well, I just don't know how to speak for the Lord, whose fault is that? Maybe it's mine. But I really think at the end of the day, it's probably yours. It's because you love the Word of God, but you don't live the Word of God. There's a saying I read on a church sign one time. It said, a dusty Bible leads to a dirty life. And I don't know if that's true, but I can say this. A dusty Bible is a Bible that's not well used. And if a Bible's not well used, how can it ever be living and powerful in your life? And so he says, I'm incompetent. And then this is what he says, from only a youth. Now, for some of us in here, you've been claiming that you're 65 years old. I'm only a youth. I don't know what I'm doing. Grow up. Okay? You can't use that excuse anymore. But a lot of us in here that are a little bit younger, we're going to say this very same thing. I'm too young to be in a ministry. I'm too young to be called to do things for the Lord. I'm looking at some of y'all right now. You think to yourself, I just can't be used by God. Here's what he actually says. I feel ill-equipped. I don't feel like I have the tools that it takes. And then here's the other thing. I feel inadequate. And let me tell you something. The people that God uses the most in the Bible are not the ones that are well-versed, ready to go, and primed for ministry. It's usually the people who you would never choose out of the crowd going, that guy's got to be used by God. And if you're in here and you feel inadequate, you're the perfect person for God to use. And that's the excuses that Jeremiah uses. And look what happens. God confronts his excuses. Because I've said this 1,000 times, and Benjamin Franklin says this, if you're good at making excuses, you'll be good at nothing else in life, right? And too many people are good at making excuses. Well, I can't. And you become so good at making excuses that you can't be good at anything else because your number one gift in the Holy Spirit is making excuses. That was supposed to be funny, but nobody laughed. Do not say, God confronting him, do not say, I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go. Now, I want you to pick up on something in here. He's saying, God, I can't do this. God, you don't understand. I'm inadequate. I'm ill-equipped. I'm incompetent. I can't do this. And look how God answers. He says, do not say, I'm only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and wherever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Did anybody pick up on how God answers the excuse of Jeremiah? I'm there. I got this. If I can create the earth, the moon, the stars, the skies, animal, water, the body, in 6 days, this is no problem. God says, I got this. God goes, I've been to handling school. I got this. And for some of us in here, you need to hear that, man. You feel this call in your life, man. Maybe it's to go back and work with kids. Because we need Sunday school teachers back in the kids. You go, well, I just don't know where to teach a kid. Throw goldfish at them. That's all we're asking. Just chuck cookies and goldfish at them and maybe say a prayer with them. Help them color a rainbow which has been stolen. I don't want to get political, but man, let's bring that back to what it should be. Us Christians should be putting on Facebook, the rainbow is God's. It is a promise that He will never, ever forsake us like that again. It's a promise from God, and that's what I'm going to believe the rainbow is. But maybe I'm called to help them see that. God says, because I am with you. Whew. And he says, wherever I send you, whew, you'll go. It's almost like he's like, you don't have a choice. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. All right. But I'm with you. And look what it does in verse 9. We got to hurry. I know. I'm sorry. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. Now, I think that you guys got to understand this. Every week before I preach, I pray Jeremiah 1:9 every time before I stand up and speak. So if you have a problem with me, you need to blame God because I prayed this, okay? Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 says this. Then the Lord put out his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. I pray that every Sunday before I preach. This is my one life verse that I pray every single time before I preach. Lord, I'm incompetent. I'm inadequate. I'm ill-equipped. God, I don't know what I'm doing. I have no clue how to do this. I don't know how to preach very well. God, I need you to touch my mouth in this moment. I need you to speak into me and through me, and your words be placed in my mouth. And so what happens here is what I've learned is people come up to me like, Pastor, you just preach really good. And I go back and I listen to myself sometimes. I'm like, oh, that's awful. But you know what they hear? They don't. You guys don't hear me. You're hearing the words from the Lord. He put those there. And here's what's crazy about it. People are like, you've been Facebook stalking me because you're talking exactly what I'm going through right now. How many of you ever felt that? Like, you come in here on a Sunday and I preach something, you're like, oh, he's Facebook stalking me or something. He knows everything that's going on in my life and you're frustrated with me? It's because the Lord put those words in my mouth. Maybe, just maybe, he has a message for you. And he's tired of you walking out of here going, oh, maybe I'll do that. And this is what he promises him. And this is probably just a shot in his arm. And this is something that keeps us preachers going, is verse 10. See, I have set you, or some of your Bible says sanctified, which is another word like consecrate, to set aside. I've set you or set you aside this day over nations and over kingdoms. And some of these nations, your words were going to pluck up and to break down and to destroy and to overthrow. And sometimes these words that I put in your mouth are to build and to plant. And can I just say this in ministry? This is a pretty good percentage of what it feels like in a ministry that I'm able to do. 60%, like 66% of the things that I do, I'm destroying, making people mad, frustrating people. And like the other like 33% of the time, you ready? It's to build up and to plant. Things are happening. Sometimes that's what ministry is. And I want to give you a real idea. God tells Jeremiah this. He says, if you're going to do what I call you to do, understand there's going to be moments where it's going to be very, very difficult. 60% of the time, it's not going to sit well with people. 60% of the time, these people are not going to understand. But there's 33% of the time where you're going to see an abundance come because you were faithful to me. Verse 11. So the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? It's almost like he goes through a test. Jeremiah, what do you see? And he says to the Lord, this is what Jeremiah sees. He says, I see an almond branch. And the Lord said to me, you've seen well, for I'm watching over my word to perform it. Now, we've got to kind of stop and say, why would an almond branch be so important for him to see? Well, in the Jewish culture, every Jewish person knows this, that out of the darkness of winter, the first thing that blooms is what? An almond tree. And so basically what God is telling Jeremiah in this moment, he says, now that you understand the call that I put on your life, the things that I'm going to tell you are coming quickly. They're in bloom right now. And so there's 40 years that he's going to spend in this ministry. And 40 years is not very long when you begin to see the devastation of a nation happen. And so God says, that is like an alarm to the nation of Israel, because they know when the almond tree begins to bud, spring is happening. Right? And the things that I'm telling you that are going to happen are coming quickly. And then 13, and the word of the Lord came to me a second time saying, what do you see? And this time he saw a boiling pot facing away from the north. And the Lord said to me, out of the north disaster shall be let loose upon the inhabitants of the land. For behold, I'm calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord. And they shall come, and everyone shall set its throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, and against its walls all around, and against all the cities of Judea. So he's trying to warn Jeremiah, this call that I have in your life is not going to be easy. Why? Because you're going to be telling people that judgment is coming. Like, we've used this before, but if you've ever watched the movie Tombstone, Kurt Russell, he's on the deck at the train station, and he tells that one guy, Ike Clanton, is that his name? Is it? Come on, Dad, you're helping me. Ike Clanton, he says, tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me. That's the words that the Lord put in Jeremiah's mouth. He says, tell him I'm coming and hell's coming with me. And he says all this stuff is going to come about. But verse 16, and I will declare my judgments against them for all their evil and forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and worshiped the works of their own hands. Whew, what a message we can preach out of that one. 17, but you, watch this, dress yourself for work. He tells Jeremiah one of the calls to being in ministry, to follow through with the will of God, to do what God's called you to do. It doesn't just come naturally. You dress yourself for work. And the question would be, how do you dress yourself for work? How did Jeremiah have to dress himself for work? He had to wake up and he had to put one foot in front of the other. He had to stay committed to the plan of God in his life. He had to know that God had a specific plan in his life. Some of you are at that point where you're ready to give up on certain things that God's called you to do. Can I just tell you, wake up, dress yourself ready to work, and get after it. Some of you are trying to put a marriage back together in this room. Keep waking up, keep following God, dress yourself for work. Some of you are trying, you're continuing to pray for a child that's like a prodigal, and you're like, I just don't know how much longer I can pray, Pastor. God says, wake up, dress yourself ready for work, and do what I called you to do. Don't give up. And this is the call that he puts on Jeremiah. He says, dress yourself for work, arise, and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And behold, look what he says he's going to do for him. Now this will help those that are being called into the ministry. He says, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls. Now, he's talking about a city that has a great police force because the walls are the police force. Some cities are fortified. The really fortified cities are like iron pillars, and those really, really fortified cities are bronze walls. What I've called you to do, nobody's going to get in the way of, Jeremiah. But then he finishes this way. 19. Jeremiah, they'll fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. One of the greatest truths that we have as believers in this room, when we fulfill the call that God has on our life, because I truly believe this. The Bible says this in 2 Peter, that every one of us are part of a royal priesthood, which means that when you've been called and claimed by Jesus Christ, you've been set aside, you've been consecrated. Every one of us have a ministry opportunity every day. You want to know why the church is failing? It's because 10% of the people are doing 90% of the work, right? Can I just say that again? Because you guys don't believe me. When it comes to things that have to be done inside of the community of faith, like going door to door and knocking on people's door and inviting them to be part of the family of God, no, that's not my job. We'll leave that up to somebody else. When it comes to helping somebody clean up their yard, or when it comes to helping somebody with their financial well-being, can I just say this? Why would you wouldn't be okay with your place of employment, you work 60 hours and for them to pay you for 10? How many would you leave that job? Raise your hand. Come on, raise your hand. You would leave it. And some of you are liars. Oh, I'd stay because I love that place. You love that place because they pay you. Amen? Why would you be okay with your church life letting 10% do the work, or the calling of God for that community? Well, Pastor, you just don't understand. I do understand. You care more about what others think than what God thinks. And this is what he's trying to tell Jeremiah here at the very end. He says, you do what I tell you to do. I've got it. Declares the Lord, I am with you. I just wish the church would believe that. That when we stand on the truth of the Word of God, that we're standing in the very corner where God's like, I'm with you. When I was at Jay, Oklahoma, and let me just finish with the story. There's this kid named Lucas Mouse. Do you remember him? Probably, there's tons of mouses over there. That wasn't a punch. It's just that's a common name over there. And while we were there, this kid was like the school bully, and my mom was a teacher there, which she was the best teacher ever. She'd have to stay and get a room put back together and work on her plans for the next day. But we'd go out front and we'd play in the schoolyard, play tackle football. Well, this kid breaks away down the sidelines and it's just me and him. And he's bigger than me, so I just decide, I'm going to go low. Like every coach would teach a good kid playing ball, right? This kid hits hard. He gets up, he just slams me to the ground. And he's going to hit me, and I stand up, and I'm ready to go fight. And I'm like this. And he looks at me, and he's like... And he walks away, and I was like, yes, what's up, man? What's up? And then I turned around, and I realized my brother, who was older than me, was standing there going... When God calls you, he's standing in your corner going... He calls you, he says, you don't think that I'm there? You don't think that I'm there to just fortify you, secure you, hold you up? Mm-mm. That's my kid. Would you bow with me? Father, I thank you for this.